Can everybody hear me? All right. So go ahead and get started. This is TypeScript for SharePoint 2013 developers. Session code is SPC288. I'm your speaker. You know that because my shirt says speaker on it. I think these shirts are kind of funny. You ever see, like, if there's a disaster or something, the governor's on there and he has a jacket that says governor. So I think that's why they're doing it. I am a productivity technology solution professional with Microsoft, and that means I am a field resource. What my title actually means is I am the technical conscience of the enterprise sales team on our productivity stack. And why that means I'm worth listening to on this topic is I'm a recovering developer and consultant, and I actually have done this, and now I just talk about it, but I get to see the approaches that a lot variety of customers take on SharePoint customization and development. So it lets me really see kind of the challenges they encounter and the patterns they implement when they adopt, you know, solutions within SharePoint and deploy solutions. So since I work for the company that invented PowerPoint, I'd be remiss if I didn't just start off and just get all the cliches of PowerPoint out of the way. Scott Hanselman did a talk once where he did this, and I thought it was brilliant, so it's definitely inspired by him. So we've got to use some random smart art. Got to have that. We got that out of the way. We got to have an eye chart. Some architecture, right? This is the, unfortunately, right down there at the bottom right is the most important part of the session. I hope you all can read that in the back. We need to use full bleed stock photography, right? Because, you know, and we're doing a talk about SharePoint, so we got to have people collaborating. Anybody recognize the people there in the thought cloud? Little harken back to the history of SharePoint there. Let's go ahead and do one more, just because it's funny. How many of you done this? Right? Every screen I touch now, there's like crud all over it, and you know. And finally, you should probably do a meme that shows you're kind of hip and local. So how many of you enjoyed the keynote yesterday? Just to let you all know, I'm going to talk about why TypeScript is hurting global warming. So if you develop without it, you are killing penguins and all of that. All right, enough of that. So this is, I like an interactive crowd. And so I really want to get the first kind of point of interaction here is use the hashtag on Twitter, go to the session feed on Yammer, and caption this for me. But keep it clean, please. All right. So that's it. Enough of that. How many of you have seen this screen way too often? And also, I have working on it t-shirts to give away here. So there you go. And if you see anyone else use this week, and I know there are some that will, and Andrew Connell can back me up on this, I did this first. This is mine. So all right, let's really get started. So I talked about it before. I like interaction. We've got the second screen experience, which I think is really cool. We actually did this back in SPC 11, if anyone was there. I was on stage with Dara Vishadra, and we used to do this just with Twitter, and now we're doing it with Yammer, too, which I think is phenomenal. So do this throughout. Ask questions. Flattery will get you everywhere. This is how I'm choosing giveaways. We will have three specific points within the session where my partner Nick here, a peer of mine, I have a lot of support from my team here, and my boss is here, so if you could laugh at my jokes and kind of do all that. But we are, so do that through Twitter and Yammer. You can still ask questions if it's at a point when I ask for them, but do it that way so people can see the answers and whatnot, and we'll also select giveaways that way. So objectives and takeaways. The first thing I want to point out is you will not be a TypeScript or SharePoint app expert at the end of this session. I just want to level set. This is 200 level. I will spend a lot of time in Visual Studio, probably about half, and it's a developer session after all. It's Vegas, I want to gamble, so I am going to try and demo live. I do have recordings that I will fall back to, but we're going to give it a whirl. But the goal really is just to expose you to TypeScript and see how you can leverage it with the cloud app model, the CAM model, which I'm sure you've heard a lot about in the past day or so. How many of you have been exposed to TypeScript at all before this session? So a fair number of you, good. So if this is not what you were expecting for this session, this is your opportunity to leave. If you would please give me fives on your way out and just say, hey, it was great. The opening was awesome. I loved it. That'd be great. One thing I want to point out, the last thing there, TypeScript is still in preview. Version 0.9.7 or 1.0RC was just released last week. So we are working towards V1. And I've got a couple of things that I want to point out that I've talked with TypeScript Engineering. It's becoming a first-class citizen in Visual Studio with Update 2. And you are going to be able to, you don't even have to install it separately now with Update 2, CTP 2. And I've talked to the TypeScript Engineering team, and they are going to make it so you no longer have to edit the project file in a SharePoint app or an Office app to enable TypeScript compilation. Yes, but I am going to still walk you through that because I don't know when that's going to happen and you need to know what to do. All right, so any questions? Is this what you expected? All right, nobody's leaving. So, well, that guy is, but all right. So, you might have seen some odd slides here. We have a new policy on using copyrighted images. So, my main objective in a demo is to make you say, I got to get me some of that. And it's based on a Dilbert cartoon that's one of my favorites. I've left a link to the cartoon, so you're going to just have to imagine it in the deck here. You can click to it, because I love my job and I respect copyright law. And you can click on the image. But I found a loophole, which all good engineers do. That's my demo. I showed you too quick. So here's the comic. I can show you on the website. It's in the Dilbert website. No copyright violation here. But, you know, you sit there and say, so I'm demoing live, right? And I think yesterday in the keynote, a good quote was made that if something goes wrong, it means you know it's real. And so that's what we're going to attempt today. But the point is, if you'll see something here, here, and here, if it all works. And if it doesn't, you can just imagine it, and you can say, I got to get me some of that. So we're going to go back. So I'm going to go back for one slide. I want to start out with a demo, just to really get this kind of let you see the value of this right away, and also kind of show the last thing first and what the benefit of leveraging TypeScript with your SharePoint hosted apps is. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get in there. So I built, as you can see, a line of business application. That everyone will do. I want to stick with the Vegas theme. I built a jQuery SharePoint hosted application that queries a SharePoint list via REST to give you betting advice based on what the dealer's showing and what you're showing. So you can put this into practice today, here now. You can leave the session, go downstairs, and make this a profitable trip. My good friend Andrew Connell has this book that he refers to when we're playing blackjack. He even has it in business card form, I believe. And so the rules come from that. So if they don't work out, just blame Andrew. But, you know, we've got all the features you'd expect. The only thing I don't have is, splitting and stuff like that. I ran out of time. I'm sorry. But you can bet, you know, so we'll do that. And it's telling me I should stand 19 against an ace. All right, we'll do that. And, hey, I won. Rock on. So what I'm going to do is just go through a few of these. And what's happening here is it's just, you know, doing simple jQuery calls. This is all standards compliant. I was a good web developer and kept everything in CSS and everything. And here's my list that it's querying based on what the dealer's showing and what you're showing. And it's just a simple list. And I provisioned this with my SharePoint hosted app, just as you would. And I just got a lower bound for my hand, an upper bound, lower bound for the dealer, just doing a very simple REST query. And I'll show that in the code in a little bit. So if we go back, what I want to do is try and get the bug that I'm looking for. So I'm just going to kind of go through a few of these. Bear with me. Come on. This would be the time it doesn't show up after like 20 tries. Are there any questions while I'm going? Nick, do we have any winning captions yet? It's just a good opportunity for some giveaways. You got three? Well, hang on, I will in just a moment. Can't do this and that. Come on. Never. And I'll explain why. The reason is there's the main benefit is just getting simple typing. This kept coming up. Come on. What I need to do is get a single digit hand. The reason is because the artifacts go away at compile time. So there's no artifacts that aren't, there we go. There's no artifacts that are not pure JavaScript at the end. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get some giveaways going while we do this. What do you got for me, Nick? Oh, you guys raise your hands. All right, there's Andrew, there's Paul, there's Jonas. All right, I think anyone that complimented me gets a t-shirt. We also have 5-hour energy available because it is Vegas. And we also have stress balls. All right, thank you, Nick. We'll have two more runs at that. All right, so let's go back.
So,
I prefer the compliments, but I think overall, let's do good questions and things like that. All right, so I'm going to hit stand here. Notice, dealer has 20, I have 9, but I won. Why did that happen, right? I didn't get an error, but obviously there's something going on. So let's go ahead, let's debug this like I would a JavaScript app. So I'm using JavaScript at this point. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to add a breakpoint. I'm going to go back and I'm going to play again. I just want to see what's going on. So if I hit F10 here, I've got some watches down here. Can everybody see that okay? I know it's kind of small in the watch window. But we're going to go ahead and hit F10. Does anybody see the problem? So notice in my watch window that variable is in quotes. And so it's a string. And so the 9 at that point, when I do calculations on it, the 9 is greater than the 2, which is the first instance of the string. Therefore, it is a valid case. It will return true in JavaScript, right? That's a hard bug to catch. That's one you come across a lot when you do enterprise JavaScript and when you do JavaScript asks, because it'll make it out to runtime. It won't error. It's not throwing an error message in the browser. It'll get out there, and it's hard to catch. So why TypeScript? So let me go ahead and kill that. Let's flip over. I go to my app.ts file. That's my TypeScript file, okay? And this is where I actually put my code. Now, I could just put standard JavaScript code here, and it would output clean JavaScript. The advantage I get is I can take advantage of the type annotations. If you see right here, these are the variables that I was just working with. I've got a type annotation of a number. That will prevent me now, if I don't parse that element query from jQuery, I immediately get feedback that I can't convert that string to a number. Now, let's say I take advantage of the type inference in TypeScript. I don't have to annotate. Now I get a bunch of errors on my math. So it's giving me feedback immediately as I'm coding. You're going to catch that bug very early in the dev cycle. And if I build, I should get a slew of errors. Let's hope, anyway. There we go. I got all those math errors, so it's not going to build. I broke the build. I have to wear the dunce cap now in the dev room. But so that's great, right? In the JavaScript way, I did not catch that. In the TypeScript way, I would have caught it immediately. That would have been an easy bug to find, right? But in JavaScript apps, that's kind of a harder bug to find. That's just representative of the type of things. There's definitely more benefits to using TypeScript. We're going to go through that, but that's just the main one I find, the main benefit, that if you wanted to refactor existing code and the only thing you did was take advantage of the type annotations, you would increase your code quality and you would increase efficiencies as a developer doing just JavaScript apps. And just to prove that it all works, and just because I want to give myself more opportunity for it to break, I'm going to go ahead and comment out the JavaScript example. Uh-oh. See? Push my luck. All right, you get the point. We'll go back to that, and we'll build it. All right. Any questions on that? So what it does, it compiles the JavaScript every time. takes your TypeScript definition, strips out anything that's not idiomatic JavaScript or ECMAScript 3 or 5 compliant, and it outputs to clean JavaScript. It takes away all those type annotations and anything that's not JavaScript. So your end product, when you said, I think someone asked before, I forget who it was, I'm sorry, should we ever not use TypeScript? That's the thing. There's no artifacts there. There's nothing that'll break it later on. It removes it at compile time. It does not, because it's just JavaScript. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. In 2012? Yes. In particular with 2012, you want to use Web Essentials. It'll actually do side-by-side compilation as well. But yeah, it gives you the deep IntelliSense. That's another benefit, and I'll get into that in a little bit. I'm going to keep going here. So what is TypeScript? It seems like a lot of you had kind of had exposure to it, but I still want to level set just to kind of give you the messaging of why we did this and why maybe you should choose this over some alternatives, because this is definitely not the only sort of alt.js project out there. Was that demo effective? Did it help you kind of see on the outset how you could leverage that? Did any of you think to yourself, I got to get me some of that? Anyone? Are we there? Okay, some. I'm reaching some of you. Good. So now that you hopefully understand the why, let's get into the how. So application scale JavaScript development is really hard. And when I say that, obviously that Blackjack app is not an application scale app, right? But there are big apps being built in nothing but JavaScript. In fact, there's a very big app that some of you may use, and some of you might loathe, or you might whatever, but Xbox Music was built in TypeScript. And so there are big apps out there that are being built using these things now, big production apps. And so it actually scales fairly well. JavaScript was never intended to scale to apps requiring 100,000 lines, but we're seeing that now, right? Why you're seeing JavaScript all of a sudden become popular again is because of the ubiquity. The mobile space really drove that, right? And really being able to have code that you write once and run anywhere, on any device, on any browser. That's the good of JavaScript. Also, function expressions kind of allow sort of a semblance of OOP, but you're still not protected from yourself, right? You have to be very disciplined to do good design patterns in JavaScript. There are libraries out there that help, like Angular. I see Jeremy up here. He's giving a talk on Angular, JS, and SharePoint Dev. You're going to see Angular probably mentioned quite a bit. There's Breeze. You know, there's things that help, but you can still write. It's easy to write, do things in a bad way with JavaScript. The really good thing about JavaScript, though, and why you'd want to build an app just in it, not just the ubiquity, but the community backing, you know, because of those libraries that I mentioned, like jQuery, Knockout, Angular, Backbone, Ember, Modernizer. I always say I don't write JavaScript really anymore. I write, you know, with one of the libraries and write that flavor. So the bad of JavaScript and why, you know, you should leverage this alt.js or something to bring structure to it. Again, fundamental design patterns and OOP constructs are lacking and require discipline by a developer. So if you have a lot of devs working in a JavaScript project, you're not guaranteed. There's no way to enforce the rules, right? There's no way to enforce tests or anything like that. JavaScript is dynamic no matter what, and there's no type annotation. So we already saw one side effect of that. I was doing calculations on a string, and I got an invalid result because of it. The dynamic aspect is everything's global, right, typically. You can have it function scope, but I can, you know, if I use the same name in a variable later on down in my code, I could override a global variable that I didn't want to. And one of the big ones I hope you saw, JavaScript delays bug discovery to far later in a dev cycle than is desirable. Now, there are great tools out there like Fiddler, and, you know, you can use regular VS to attach, but there's still some things lacking. You don't catch it till runtime. I'd rather catch it at compile time or much earlier and have confidence that it's there, and also catch it in my build reports. So again, why we endeavored upon it. TypeScript is a language for an application scale JavaScript development. So this is what the TypeScript team really states is the purpose of TypeScript. And Anders Heilsberg is one of the people behind this project, the main person. And he is, of course, one of the inventors of ECMAScript. And so it's not just somebody that doesn't have a vested interest in this. And really what it is a type superset. So again, I kind of said before, your artifacts that aren't playing JavaScript at the end are removed. So every JavaScript program is a TypeScript program. TypeScript is nothing more than a syntactic sugar for ECMAScript 5. And so we just add the typings, and we add the modules, and we're kind of giving you what the proposed features in ECMAScript 6 proposals, some of those in JavaScript that they're promising for tomorrow, we're giving it to you today, essentially with TypeScript. But we're trying to stay aligned with that too. There's some things where we have overlap, and I'll discuss that later. But again, existing methods to optimize JavaScript can still be maintained, and the compiler removes anything that's not JavaScript upon compilation. So the gentleman asked, does it affect performance? No, it doesn't, because all the same steps you would take to optimize your JavaScript code, you can take for your TypeScript code. So those are all the official definitions in marketing messaging that I kind of, you know, the TypeScript team wanted me to cover with you. I like this. TypeScript is JavaScript for professional developers. In fact, I like that so much, I'm going to quote myself on it right now. So, this isn't script kiddie stuff. This is good stuff. And I don't say that derogatory way, right? I know myself as a traditional developer, I hack JavaScript. I do. And I write to libraries like jQuery. In fact, I have to use something like jQuery because I can't write that much JavaScript effectively, you know? So I have to have helpers to do that. So I really find TypeScript helps me kind of apply those patterns, if you will. So some questions you're probably asking yourself. Is TypeScript yet another new implementation of JavaScript with a new syntax that I have to learn? No. You can just start with plain JavaScript, and because it's just a sugar, you can just, you know, put the type annotations in and nothing more and take advantage of that and gain those efficiencies, and you can go on, you know, and not learn it. Now, I would say it might behoove you to learn some of the constructs available within TypeScript, because you can do things like modules and classes and interfaces and good patterns on top of your JavaScript code. But it doesn't mean you have to refactor anything to kind of just take advantage of it. Another question you might be asking is, why not support Google Dart or CoffeeScript? Well, TypeScript's the only one of the three that is a strict superset of JavaScript. So any JavaScript code is valid TypeScript. With Dart, you got to learn Dart. CoffeeScript, you have to learn Dart. Or I'm sorry, CoffeeScript, you have to learn CoffeeScript. And so with TypeScript starting as JavaScript, it kind of gives you an advantage. And finally, one that I do get often is, does it only work in IE? No. It's JavaScript at the end of the day. And so it'll work in any browser on any device. So TypeScript is a Microsoft solution, which might be of a concern to some. So imagine a picture of the Death Star here. And I'm going to flip over. Again, I respect copyright law. So, Death Star, right? Evil, bad, Microsoft. But because it's true open source and not just source opened, you should really think of it like that. It's the Lego Death Star, right? We're really embracing OSS, and we've got a lot of, you know, things on Azure that are supporting this, and this is definitely one example. So you could check out the code and you could fork it. And the community has really rallied behind TypeScript. And I'll illustrate that later when I show some of the momentum behind it. In fact, people creating definitions for a lot of the libraries out there and whatnot. In fact, 30% of those that download and use TypeScript are non-traditional Microsoft developers that primarily develop on other platforms. I think that's a really fascinating stat with this. So it is true open source. This is the coolest Lego set ever, I think. I just want to point that out. The trash compactor actually compacts. So, I'm going to give it away. What's that? The Lego Death Star? No, because I would keep it. And there's the slide holder there. I couldn't even say the name of the company that makes the toy. So, there we go. So just a little bit more on this. So TypeScript is a type superset of JavaScript. I'm trying to repeat, right? You say something three times, people remember. So any browser, any host, any OS, open source, Microsoft is not trying to build a new improved JavaScript. That's not the takeaway you should have here. TypeScript was created to preserve the good of JavaScript while helping you address the bad and to gain efficiencies as a developer. The preservation is maintained by first compiling the .ts file, which you saw me do, and then it dynamically generates the JavaScript file of the same name behind the scenes. So in my default.aspx, I reference app.js, even though my code is in app.ts. Okay? And another interesting thing there is, as of Visual Studio 2013, I can actually put breakpoints on my TS file. I don't have to do it to the JavaScript file. The output is an ECMA 3 or ECMA 5 compliant file. You can target either with the compilation directives. And the ubiquity of JavaScript is maintained. And again, this is not a ploy to increase share of IE. This will work on any browser. It's open source. There are no plugins required. All right, so just a little bit more into the specifics. I've kind of hammered this, so I'm just going to let this go and go through it quick. But again, we have optional static types, classes, and modules. So I talked about before, you know, I see a lot of benefit when people are approaching this for the first time. Take some code that you have, apply the type annotations, and just start there. If you want to write an app from scratch, you know, whether you're using Angular or Backbone or Modernizer or Breeze or any of those, go ahead and get the definition file. Write it in a TypeScript way with classes and modules. And I think it'll really kind of light up the language for you and kind of allow you to take advantage of good design patterns on top of your code. And again, the output is JavaScript, so it removes everything. The type system. So we formalize JavaScript's types. They are static. We do leverage type inference. You don't have to annotate. I prefer it for readability myself. And I like to know exactly what's going on, and I like to get that feedback from the compiler. Works with many existing JavaScript libraries, and I'll show you how to do that. You just reference a .d.ts file. That's a definition for any library that you're using. There's one for SharePoint. There's one for jQuery. In fact, I think Microsoft writes the jQuery one. And there's ones for Angular, there's one for Backbone, there's one for Modernizer. Pretty much anything you can get, and I'll show you how to get those easily through NuGet packages in Visual Studio. But even though we statically type, it is not provably type safe. So the types reflect the intent, but they don't provide guarantees. And you will get compilation feedback, but it's a dynamic language, right? And we do support generics, and we also have a type called any. If it can't figure something out, it goes to any. Any questions on any of that? Okay. Classes and modules. So again, if you really want to get in and learn TypeScript, take advantage of the classes. So classes enable programmers to express the common object-oriented patterns in a standard way, right? And you can have inheritance. Everything in the classes in TypeScript are public by default because members of objects in JavaScript are public by default. Modules allow programmers to organize their code into components and allow you to avoid naming conflicts. So this is very analogous to a namespace, and I will show this in my TypeScript code here in a bit. The other advantage I find with modules is it allows you to move things from global scope. So I talked about before, because JavaScript's a dynamic language, you can have an unintended side effect of a variable that's scoped globally being reset later on in a function or something like that, right? I'm sure if you've written enough JavaScript, you've run into it. I know I have, and those are nasty bugs to find if you have thousands of lines of code. The TypeScript compiler provides module code generation options that support either static or dynamic loading of the module contents. And we also support like exporting the modules to other things and whatnot. And I'm sure some of you now are wondering how this aligns with ECMAScript 6 proposals, because they also have a concept of modules and classes. And the module proposals actually have been quite fluid. The TypeScript team is involved with the committee and is helping to align TypeScript to that. But we are doing some things that aren't necessarily directly in how ECMAScript wants, but the output will be ECMAScript 6 compliant. But we will align as necessary going down, and I'll cover this in more depth at the end. So this is a good time to kind of take a break for giveaways and questions. So are there any questions for me? Nick, you got any winners for me? All right, let's go check it out. Just close this. Awesome. Notice we are using OneDrive for this. That's kind of cool. Where do we get the blackjack sample code from SBC 2.8? Gotta give me some of it. Love it. He gets a t-shirt, by the way. He used the catchphrase. I will. I'll push it somewhere. I'll put it on a CodePlex or something. What's that? GitHub. All right. Andrew just talked me into putting it on GitHub. I will post to the Yammer group where I end up deciding where to put it. Does TypeScript simply strip type annotations when compiled to JS? Is anything added? So, right, it does. It'll strip them out. It'll look like just JavaScript. I will show that when I compile my code, and I'll show you what the output looks like. Good question. Love the comment. JavaScript is great until it's not. So that was Marcus, and then Paul. TypeScript, Ollie says, did I say that right, Ollie? Where are you? Ollie, all right. TypeScript's cool, when released, will multiple TypeScript files be compiled and minified into one JS file? It's a great question. In Visual Studio 2012, with Web Essentials, you actually could minify. We don't have support for it natively yet, but I'm going to suggest that to the team, and it is on their radar. Right? How'd it go? Right. 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 I don't want to promise it'll be there by 1.0 because we're in RC now and it's not there. But I can tell you, I don't want to tell you to use Visual Studio 2012 Web Essentials because that support's going to go away too. But it's on the radar. That's just what I say. It's a valid point for sure. So great question. You can do using Node. Oh, excellent. Okay, great. He should get something too. Can you come up and talk to me about that? I'd love to see that. And then Jane, I appreciate you quoting me. That was a good quote, wasn't it? Thank you. So, appreciate it. All right, let's get back. So, TypeScript and SharePoint apps, we're doing good on time. Coffee and donuts, right? I like that. On a Metro interface there. You're going to see this slide a lot. This is some of the new stuff that we released, just as kind of give you an overview of, again, the SharePoint app, cloud app model. We released some of the contextual apps yesterday. There were the new APIs. The new APIs are really cool. I'm looking forward to taking advantage of those. We've got the flexible tools. We've got new tooling that was just released yesterday. My demos do not use it. I almost installed it last night until one of my coworkers, Chad, said you're an idiot if you do that when you're gonna go on stage tomorrow, and he was right. So I'm still using the update one tools, but the new tools have, the new tooling was released yesterday with a bunch of different types now that we have available for SharePoint. So definitely check that out. Dev.office.com got a rebrand as of Monday with a lot of the stuff that we're announcing, so do that. And one thing I do want to point out is I'm on an Ultrabook here, just, you know, a really thin laptop that I travel with, and it's my SharePoint dev machine because I use an Office 365 dev tenant. And that means I no longer have to carry around the 32-gig laptop with 8 cores that weighs 25 pounds and the lights dim when I plugged it in. So consider using an Office 365 dev tenant. It makes things really easy to do that. So the cloud app model, as if you're not familiar enough with this, but I just, again, want to level set. We have provider-hosted apps, and we have SharePoint-hosted apps. SharePoint-hosted apps, I've really come around to really like these a lot. But you can only use common SharePoint artifacts, lists, libraries, pages, whatnot. You can only use JavaScript and HTML, so that's why using something like TypeScript or any of the other libraries is actually quite valid. Provider-hosted apps are very interesting, though, but I think you really need to, you know, see what you can do before you endeavor upon that. But they can be hosted on non-Microsoft platforms, actually. You can use a client, or the SharePoint, CSOM, or REST. I prefer REST, or the OData interface. And you can be authorized to SharePoint via OAuth or JavaScript cross-domain library. And so you can have integration with these apps. But there's some really compelling patterns you can have there for, and Kirk Evans has done a lot of work, and I think he might be presenting on some of this with how to use Azure. But you can hook into line of business systems, you know, other systems, you know, you would never think of bringing into SharePoint, and you can have that in provider-hosted model now, and it all runs outside of SharePoint, so if you upgrade SharePoint, it won't affect it. And then just, you know, your app UX options. You can have an immersive full page, you can have a web part, and you can have a custom action. You all probably knew that already, but I just want to level set on what a SharePoint cloud app looks like. So let's get back into Visual Studio, because that's where I prefer to be. Any questions? All right. Did anybody download the new tools yet? Anybody use them? Yes? So the app model wasn't a component there, but you definitely could probably still use the CSOM or the REST APIs that were available in 2010 with TypeScript. You could do that. Yes. Visual Studio has finally come back alive for me, which was good. So what I did now is I've uncommented. I've commented out the demo.js, which was my pure JavaScript solution, and I've commented now my app.js. And again, here's my app.js, which was built. Anytime I save my TS file, or I or every time I build. So let me go ahead and make this valid code again. And see, I'm getting deep IntelliSense on that from TypeScript. I'm going to go ahead and parse this int. Make all my errors go away. Let's go ahead and build that. And I should get a notice now. It tells me output generated successfully. And it should yell at me because I have the JS open. So it's ready. We did it behind the scenes. But if I go down, there we go. It just told me, okay, it's been modified. It was regenerated. So anything you put in here, like if you edit your app.js directly, it will be overwritten every time you build. So I do that. And let's just go through. So if I go through my TypeScript file here, I've got my type annotations, because somebody was asking before, right there. And you see the structure of it. So if I go over to my JS, and you see how it stripped it out. There's no type annotation there. So it's just clean, what you'd expect. But some of the more interesting ones, if I go up top here, here's my references to my libraries. We'll get into what that is a little bit. But I've got some of this refactored into modules and classes. So you see my module, SP Blackjack, my namespace. And I've got an export class of or class of rule. So if I go to app.js there, you see how it kind of refactored it into clean JavaScript by putting it into a var and a nested function and whatnot. And so it's not, you know, all those annotations and the TypeScript artifacts are stripped away upon compile time, and you just, again, generate clean JavaScript. And it does it fairly clean. Let's show some of the other stuff. And just to prove that it will work, let's go ahead and deploy it with TypeScript code. I'm feeling lucky. While doing that, did that answer everyone's questions about, you know, what's the output look like, and kind of give you a good example of what it looks like and what's left behind? I'm going to show a few more of the benefits you get. It's uninstalling the app. All I did was either save my TypeScript file, yep, or I build. And it'll do it automatically for me. There we go. Rack on. They do. Oh, you know what? It's a good question. I haven't tested it with something named differently because I always use app.js, which is there already. So you may, that's a good question. I'll have to verify that. Right. So that's a really good point. Thanks, Andrew. How you would accommodate, what he's asking is, say I don't have that name. The app.js comes with the template for doing a SharePoint app, right? So say you wanted to use my demo.js, right? That's not there by default. So what you may have to do is show all files on your project after you compile your demo.ts and then add that file to the project. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Thank you, Andrew. So I'm running on my TypeScript code now, and I'm going to go ahead and give it full trust to the app web. I even had a Metro icon for it. Pretty cool, huh? There we go. And now I probably won't get that bug again. But you see it's working. It's working on TypeScript. And the cool thing I can do now, and I mentioned this before, if I want to go down and look for that same bug, I just add, I'm adding it to the app.ts file. I don't have to worry about, you know, hooking onto the JavaScript. It's a deal. And there we go. It went directly to the TS. That's an improvement in 2013. You weren't able to do that in 2012. But so it's nice. Where you're coding, you do your watches, you do your breakpoints, and you all work within that TS file. Let's go ahead and break that. All right, so some of the other things. The typing, it just really enables deep IntelliSense. You know, you get shallow IntelliSense with Visual Studio. We have pretty good tooling. They've done a good job with the JavaScript tooling, but it's very shallow IntelliSense. So like here, if I go make a new variable, I'm going to call it foo, equals dealer total. So I get type ahead here because I'm in my scope of this module, right, which is nice. I'm not getting global stuff. So I'm going to do that. So with type inference, that is now a number because dealer total is a number, right? So now if I go down to that variable and I do foo dot, I'm only going to get valid operations for a number. Even if, so if I were to do the same thing over here in JavaScript, well, there is no type, right? Because I don't know what it is. And if I go and I get a whole bunch of other stuff. I can do like HTML type stuff, right? Because it's just JavaScript. It doesn't know it. So there's some IntelliSense, but it's not deep IntelliSense. And it's not even sometimes applicable. So let's go back to here. Now this is the major one for me. Because of the typing, the best thing I get is, let's make this a string. So I don't know, I'm going to do foo.length, or we'll just do that. Okay. So because I have static typed annotation on there, I can refactor. So I right-click, refactor, rename, foo new, and it automatically did it. You can applaud at that if you'd like. But and it went ahead and it did, it compiled over to the JavaScript. But that's huge, right? If I were to do that same thing over here in my JavaScript, and I had var foo equals dealer total, let's say, you know, way down here, far away, I want to use, I don't know, pass something to fill, we'll do get rule foo, okay? It's away from the code, maybe it's way in another file even, right, or something like that, I don't know. But I'm not able to refactor. I don't even get the option in there, because there's no way for it to be able to do that. I'd have to find and replace. And if I had that same name, if I used a common name variable, I could inadvertently replace something that I didn't mean to. So enabling refactor is huge. And that same thing applies to functions and modules. So being able to you know, do that with functions and modules, and if I go back, I gotta make sure I can keep this in a working state. I'm sorry. If I go back and I do one of my functions, let's go here, I can also go through, like I can take this deal one, right? And I can actually also find all the references, just like you would in, you know, C# or something like that. I can find out everything that's calling for it, or I can go to the definition of it and go and get it. So a lot of cool things to just give you some efficiencies just by taking advantage of that static type annotation. I'm sorry? Like the signature? Describe what you mean by call structure. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that. Okay, oh yeah. So it'll, that's a good question, I've never done it. We can try that out later. Come up. All right, so we did that. I showed modules a little bit. Again, think of those just as a namespace. I've got a module game here. And the cool thing is if I'm, you know, within my code, I can just go, you know, game dot, and I get my functions there just like I would. And I've also got a SharePoint module for when I do my REST call, and I only have one method there, and so it's get list item. And again, I get a signature string on it. It tells me the type of everything that needs to be there and gives me that feedback of what I'm looking for. I've also got my namespace of, you know, if I've got properties in SB Blackjack, I've got a rule class there. If I go onto that class, then I can get methods if I create a new one. So if I go here, I'll just do it. Var foo equals new SP blackjack.rule. So I have a constructor on that. And I have to, you know, supply it some stuff based on what the constructor is asking for. But from there, you know, I can go ahead and I can do refactoring. I can get the deep IntelliSense, and the modules are really, really nice. I mentioned a little bit on the class here, so I'll just go show you what that looks like. There's my rule class. Looks pretty similar to how you declare a class in C#. I've got a constructor on it. I've got my type annotations on the properties, what I can do. You can, again, I mentioned before, you can also do interfaces. So things can implement this, and you can do inheritance and whatnot. So you can do a lot of good, strong patterns with it. And then finally, I kind of talked a little bit about these. These are my definitions here for jQuery and SharePoint. And so it's obviously the libraries that I'm leveraging in this example. If I had, you know, a knockout reference or something, I could have those built in here as well. And how you add those, I'll show you how you add them to a new project. But that's basically how you invoke that. And if I go over to my, you know, the structure of my project, I've got this typings folder from the NuGet package. And those two elements are from there. And I just get those from the community that have defined them. And I'm able to do things then, you know, because I've got the SharePoint one in there, I can take advantage of, you know, SharePoint context. And so here I actually can have my context as a type of sp.client context. And so I've got some SharePoint capabilities. Another cool thing is because down here below I'm using a URL to the list in the app web, I'm actually able to use the context tokens then also and just to pick off that web absolute URL. So that's a huge advantage too, to being able to do that. Granted, you can do that, you know, with CSOM and stuff like that, but the point is you don't lose those things in TypeScript. You can do those things and actually have them statically typed too and take advantage of that. And if I were to, you know, I don't know, we'll do string equals, if I go into SP page context info, I get IntelliSense on it as well. And so I can see all the different, you know, you get the layouts URL or the site absolute URL. You get all the properties you'd see and you get IntelliSense for that. So that's nice. Yes, it's a great time for questions. So that's, let me just wrap that up. So that's TypeScript, the structure of the file, not too much, right? You can just take advantage of the type annotations, how you might go about approaching developing a TypeScript app and whatnot. So go ahead, where's the question? I'm sorry, can you say it again? I don't have a solution, can I just, so, I mean, there are other tools for TypeScript. There's one in Node. I know, I'm not sure how that one works. Do you know? You need a project, I think, to use, kind of take advantage of the typing and things like that. Oh, let's not put script in content editor web parts. Well, it wouldn't compile, right? So it would just take it. Well, yeah, it would work. It's clean JS, so you could do that. I didn't say that. Can we roll back the recording on that? I did not say that. Yeah. I would not use what? I'm sorry. Well, that's what the whole session's about. So yeah, I would. I totally advocate it. He was saying, can I drop the JS file into a content editor web part so I don't have to write an app? Do something completely on the front end. And if you can do that with a normal JavaScript file, then you can do that with the output of a TypeScript file. But as a Microsoft employee, I can't. I'm sitting here saying yes, but no, right? Okay. All right. So last demo. And Nick, do we have any winners? We do. Everybody needs 5-hour energy. All right, let's refresh. Can you configure how the generated JavaScript is formatted? You can target, and is it, I'm going to butcher this. Is it radar or readar? Right there? Did I destroy your name? Okay. So you can target ECMAScript 3 or ECMAScript 5, and that's about as much control as you have right now. But again, if you start out with just JavaScript that's formatted, it's only going to refactor the stuff that's not JavaScript. So it should keep anything that you've got already done. Does that make sense? Okay. Are there any guidelines around using all these external JS libs like Knockout, Bootstrap, and Node, along with TypeScript? It's a great question. So really the point there, and is it Prene, or did I say it right? Okay, close enough. Thank you. The real limitation in the guideline is there a definition for it already? If not, you can create one on your own. We give you guidance for that, but there are a ton of definitions. So, and there's example code out there typically as well. So the main one is there a definition already created, and is it a good definition? But as far as, you know, guidelines, again, you could start out with the same code in that library in your TypeScript file, and it would be valid. And just so the guidelines are whatever that library requires, essentially. Right. I mean, it's just whether or not you choose to use the libraries anyway, right? So I take advantage of, I think it's the best practice to use them because it helps me. And I'm able to do things much easier. I can't imagine doing some of the calls on elements without jQuery anymore, right? And so that's just one example. So it's whatever enables you to be more productive. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you for the question. What OSS license is TypeScript released under? That's a great one. It's on CodePlex, so I would assume it's, Andrew, can you do it for me? All right, we'll come back to that one. Would you recommend keeping .ts and JS in TFS or compile TypeScript on the build server before deploying the app? That's a great ALM question. I keep them in there, and it will automatically check them out when it recompiles. I think that's just me being lazy. That's an interesting discussion that we could do with the build server, though. I could see that maybe keeping the JS out and just having it as an artifact on the build server. Apache 2 is the license. Thank you. You know you're deep in a Vegas conference. Thank you. Yeah, right? This is helpful. If nothing else, you'll be awake tonight at the attendee party. And then my boss saying use Office 365 as a developer tenant. Yes, I agree. I appreciate that, Steve. Yes, sir. I would assume so. Because it's just using compiler directives, right? So you would have to have the compiler installed. I don't know if it's fully integrated into TFS yet. That's the question. Good question. I'll reach out and I'll post it on Yammer. Is that fair? Okay. The what? Yeah. Did you guys all get your stuff? All right. I'm gonna get back into it because I got 20 minutes. We're doing okay on time. So, how do you take advantage of TypeScript in your SharePoint apps? Let's create one. So I'm going to open TFS, VS 2013 Update 1. I'm going to start a new project. And again, I have the old tools, so don't hold it against me. I just wanted my demos to work. I want a SharePoint app. I'm going to call this SPC 288. Well, let's click OK. I'm using my dev tenant, so I'm going to go ahead and keep that wired up there as a SharePoint hosted app. If it's going to break, it's going to break here. I really should have done this while I was taking questions. That was an error. So while that's happening, what I'm going to show here Is it going to show? Great. Okay, so now I'm going to sign into 365, Office 365. And so now I've got my standard SharePoint app here. Got my structure. So the first thing I need to do to take advantage of this is I need to edit the project file. And I need to unload the project to do that. So let's unload. This is what I talk to TypeScript engineering. I need to test whether the new tools will do this automatically for us. And if it's not in the new tooling, it should be in, rolled up into update 2. But it's coming. They're going to get it to where you don't have to do this. But current statement, point in time statement, this is what you have to do. So as soon as that's done unloading, I'm going to go ahead and edit it. While I'm waiting on that, I'll flip back and just show you what that code looks like. And so what we do is we just add these declarations to the CS proj file. And what this does is it tells us when you see a file type of .ts, compile it into JavaScript using the TypeScript compiler. And that code is in my slide deck, so you can just take that. I have personally created a snippet to be able to just insert it. It's an XML snippet, and you just insert it. And if you go to the SharePoint TypeScript definition on CodePlex, they have instructions on how to do this as well. Let me go back. Visual Studio is still thinking here. See, I knew I pushed my luck. Let me just flip back over to my previous project and show you what it looks like. Hopefully that'll work. Yes. Cool, that worked. So if I edit, I like to put mine just at the bottom, right here, and that's where I made that declaration there. So once you've done that, all you need to do, gosh, it's still thinking. We'll just do it in here. Then all you need to do is you go, let's close this. Let's reload it. So then all I got to do is add my TS file. So let's just add one. So we'll go add new item. TypeScript. Add it. It's just a blank file, right? But what I can do is I can go up to my C# project, and let's just say it wasn't already there. I can go to Manage NuGet Packages. And all I have to type in here is just SharePoint and TypeScript. And it's going to default to what's available on the updates. But hopefully here, I'll get a list of everything available, and you'll see just the breadth of libraries available. So let me go ahead and search again. Sorry about that. SharePoint TypeScript. Okay, so we've got jQuery. We've got the SharePoint. We've got Knockout. That wasn't supposed to happen. Bootstrap, jQuery UI, all those. I've got those selected, so those are in my project. And then to add references to them, all I do is select them, go back to my TS file, and just drag them in. And now I'm ready to have a TypeScript file. And then to use that in my app, all I would do is go to my default.aspx. And reference the SPC288.js. And that's how you build TypeScript into a SharePoint app. Any questions? Was it confusing? Did I go too fast? There's one. I haven't done that. That's a good point. Be worth a try. Yeah, because you automatically call that by default. So, yeah, you might be able to do that. But I think the references have to be in a certain syntactic 3/ in your TS file, you know, that kind of thing. So, I don't know what would happen. I just always just drag them in like that. That's just what I've done. And that's actually what they show on the TypeScript side of what you have to do. But you can play around with it and see if you can get something there. Any other questions? Sure, we can get into that. So what it does is it actually just creates wrappers and interfaces for all the functions. I mean, so this one's big, right, jQuery? It's huge. But they put the annotations for TypeScript so that TypeScript recognizes them and you can use them within TypeScript. Does that make sense? Okay. We're at the 15-minute mark. We're doing well. So just a few more slides. We're almost there. Appreciate you bearing with me. TypeScript is still in preview, so caveat emptor. But 1.0 RC just released on 2.25, so we're getting there. V1 is going to be imminent. I don't have anything to announce today, but I would assume, you know, it's not too far off. But even though it's in preview, the cost to you adopting now is low because the artifacts are removed. It doesn't add anything to your code. And there's no, like, preview code then that will be running in production, right? You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to upgrade it and things like that. Tooling, Visual Studio plugin. With update 2, you no longer have to install it separately, right? It used to be a separate install. Libraries, some of the things we added by default are DOM, jQuery, Node, WinRT. The two we just added with RC are Touch and WebGL. So you can do a lot of cool things with these now with TypeScript and fully take advantage of, you know, modern devices with touch screens and whatnot. There's a lot of samples out there. And the formal language spec is pretty refined, so there's a lot of documentation on typescriptlang.org, and I'll give you some links at the end. Community response, so showing the momentum behind this. Over 3,500 CodePlex posts, very active discussion forums. There's 1,100 Stack Overflow questions and 200 feature requests. TypeScript team is very engaged there. You can reach out to them directly, and they're pretty smart, and they'll answer your questions. The ecosystem, there's a 200-plus definition files available. I showed you some just in the NuGet packages interface there. There's a lot out there that you can take advantage. And again, there's quite a bit of support and tools outside of Visual Studio. Node.js, Compile and Client, Ruby, Grunt, all of those things. And again, there already are definitions for, you know, like Backbone and Angular and Modernizer and Breeze and whatnot. So I mentioned that I would get back into this, the ECMAScript 6 overlap. So there is a new proposal coming out for the future of ECMA in JavaScript, and they are going to introduce a concept of modules and classes. Classes are pretty aligned right now with RC, and but there's one element, the class expression support, we will most likely have that post 1.0. Modules is the one that I think most people are concerned about because we do modules in a very particular way in TypeScript, and there's also a module spec for ECMAScript 6. TypeScript 1.0 will continue to have internal modules. The ECMAScript 6 proposal does not have that. But post-TypeScript 1.0, we will realign. But we're still going to support some of the constructs that we have in TypeScript because it's easier and it makes it more efficient and it's more intuitive for you. So we're going to add some things. We're not going to be strictly aligned. We want to add value, right? We want to provide some things. But our output will align with ECMAScript 6. Does that make sense? If there are any concerns there. Okay. And again, the TypeScript team is working directly with the ECMAScript 6 committee to define the module spec. So there will be input. So I'm going to close with, again, application scale JavaScript development is hard. TypeScript makes it easier. Go to typescriptlang.org. You can check out stuff, run it samples. Hopefully you saw some examples of, you know, just how you can leverage the static typing and just really gain efficiencies immediately just by leveraging that. And also by implementing software design patterns into your code and really building an app from scratch. TypeScriptlang.org, I mentioned before, if you want to get started with this. SharePoint apps, dev.auth0.com. There's the 2013 TypeScript definitions. Two MVPs are behind this. They do a really good job of updating it. And then the definitely typed. And I'll say, like, the day that RC dropped, a lot of the definitions were updated as well to take advantage of it. So the community does stay on top of this. Calls to action for all the devs in this, explore the new preview APIs, connect with the community, and build using our tools. Again, they were just released yesterday. Lots of new tooling available, some interesting stuff. I can't wait to dig into it myself. And finally, just some related sessions. There's a lot, but I kind of wanted to give you a breath to do that. And then the last thing is submit an eval, only if you love the session, please. And give me all fives. If you didn't love the session, give me fives and tell me why you didn't love it in the comments. That'd be great. but thank you for spending the morning with me. I hope it was a valuable use of your time, and enjoy the rest of the week at SharePoint Conference. Thank you.